grateful for your prayers this morning. And talk about somebody who took that advice and watched it. Kept their eyes on the lighthouse. Story of Daniel, the lion's den. The purpose that I have in mind this morning by speaking about the things that I have to say is to increase your faith. I hope by the Lord's help to set before you the pattern of someone who made a godly choice in life and where that choice led them. By contrast to the things you found around him, we all make choices in life. I'm sure you're familiar with the story. Daniel happened to be born to a generation of his kinsmen who were busy violating the Lord's laws. But even in the darkest of times, there have always been some who would live for the Lord anyway. Our world is getting pretty dark around us, but there will still be some. When Edwin Edwards was governor of Louisiana, in a press conference, he was charged with scandals and various other things, and there was a press conference that he held. One of the reporters asked him if he really knew anybody who was what he had called a saved man. Edwin Edwards was a devout Catholic. He said, "I'm sure there are some, very few, but," he said, "there have been some." Well, that's the testimony of the life in the Bible too, isn't it? Somebody who really lives what the Bible says. At any rate, the situation in Israel at the time of Daniel was that there weren't many. And as a consequence, the Lord allowed the Israelites to be taken captive down into Babylon. King of Babylon thought of them just like he would any other resource in a captured land. If they got trees, harvest the trees and use them to build our houses. If they've got ore, use mine the ore and use it to build our weapons. If they have people, well, people make good slaves and they can do things. They can farm the land. They can build houses. They can teach our children. But in order to do that, you have to assimilate them into our culture. And these Jews are different because they have this Jewish background. They got this religion. You've got to do something to change that. So Nebuchadnezzar's scheme was to choose out some of their best and brightest and corrupt them, make them violate the tenets that made them Jewish. And that's why he put Daniel and his three companions in separate quarters and ordered that they be fed things that would violate the law. And of course, you know the story of how they asked not to do that. The idea that the king had was not that the food they had was more nutritional. He wanted to get them so they were Jewish, they were Israelites, but they were corrupted Israelites, because he could use them more easily to control the Israelite people. He'd give them orders, they're already corrupted, and so they'd pass that on to their people, but they'd be under his control. That was the idea. So, well, there were always some who wouldn't do it. You know, it's disappointing when people have the opportunity to be in worship service all their life and they won't receive it, because there have been people who served the Lord under tremendous disadvantage, but they persisted in doing it. And if you and I are persistent, we can have a reward like they did. The benefits of it are integrity, their character, their being true to the inner person. Well, Native American expressed it this way one time when he was told about the gospel. He said, "Inside me there lives a good Indian and a bad Indian, and I make choices about which one I'm going to allow to be on top." What we talk about in worship service is putting the good Indian on top, making healthy choices, right choices. Daniel did that throughout his lifetime. He had the experience of being promoted in the kingdom. He had the experience of being forgotten in his promotion. He was already fallen into disuse when Belshazzar, Nebuchadnezzar's grandson, took the throne. He had his great feast, and the hand came out and wrote on the wall. Nobody could read the writing. Small wonder. It was a Hebrew language. When Daniel came in and saw it, it was plain as day to him. He knew at a moment what it was. But the wise men of the Chaldees couldn't read it. You know, God has a language that he can use to touch every heart. I know Belshazzar couldn't read what it said, but I'm sure he didn't think it was good. And Daniel came and told him the interpretation, and the king told him, well, we're going to make you back where you were before. You'll be a great ruler and give you robes and give you jewels and all that kind of thing. And, of course, the story was that that night Belshazzar lost his life. The Medes and the Persians came in and took the kingdom. But when they did, Darius, the king of the Medes and the Persians, did a little bit what Nebuchadnezzar had done before him. You know, you can't just kick out everybody who's been ruling a great nation like Babylon was. You need somebody who's got some idea how the city water supply is maintained and how criminal justice is handled. And so he retained rulers from Belshazzar's reign. One of them was Daniel. But naturally, he would prefer to have somebody who was not under that old administration to promote over them, because that person, being alien, would be more likely to be loyal to him. That's what Daniel was. So he made Daniel the second ruler in the kingdom. Did I say that so it makes sense? You understand? That's part of the reason Daniel wasn't playing politics, but everybody around him was playing politics. I get tired of people playing politics. I wish the leaders of our land would stop playing politics and start being a statesman and think about the good of the people. But anyway, that's an old, old story, and that's what happened back there. Well, Belshazzar's old lords and rulers and so forth, they didn't like it, as you would expect. A little bit of racial hatred in there, perhaps, and also the fact that we'd like to be the most important one. Why should this guy get to do this? We want to do it. So they hatched up a scheme. It's easy to do with that kind of ruler. It's easy to do, really, with anybody who's not got some spiritual insight and wisdom. Go play on his vanity. Darius, you're such a great man. We need to make a law. Nobody can ask any request of anybody except to come through you first for 30 days. Now, what would be the sense of a commandment like that? If there was any good to be gained from doing things that way, they need to do it all the time. Why just do it for 30 days? What really would that interval change? But Darius, all he saw in it was, well, that's going to make me more important than I already am. Now, these are a subdued people, and if they're willing to respect me like that, let's go for it. They want all the recognition we can get. So sure, never dreaming that there was a plot going on. Never look past. Just, I want all the honor I can get. And when people do that, who's really running things? It's not the king. He's just a puppet. These other people that are outsmarting him are pulling his strings. And so they set themselves to do this to a man of God. And the commandment was, as you know, you're not allowed to offer any request to anybody, any god, any ruler, anything. You happen to think that the city's charging you too much for your trash collection, well, you've got to go through the king before you can at least write that in the request. Darius, we ask you to ask the trash collector supervisor to change our rates a little bit. No matter how foolish that sounds, that's what they were doing. Faithful Daniel kept the same pattern, the same steady beat all the way through his life. Isn't that something? God has a plan for living in this world that makes us able to stay stable through all the ups and downs, through all the tide of current, through all that Nebuchadnezzar tried to do. We won't corrupt with the king's meat. We won't fall down and worship the king's great image that he's made here. We will not allow anything. The fact that our ancestors did what they did, the fact that we're down here because our people violated what was given to them. God didn't violate anything, and we have made up our minds. We are going to serve God, whatever else happens. Calm, settled, determined, just going to live for the Lord. In all this passage, which is found in the 6th chapter of the book of Daniel. Haven't read any of that yet. We read very little of what Daniel said. There's actually more in this passage about Darius than there is about Daniel. He said, I'm not going to. I'm just going with my life like I was before. You hear me, folks?
Yes.
We've got a set of things we believe in. We believe in holiness. We believe in purity. We believe in loving one another. We believe in worshiping the Lord. The world around us is full of tides, up and down, changing all the time, trying to change standards, trying to change attitudes and philosophies and beliefs. When the dust is all settled, by God's help, we're going to be right where we were when it started, depending not on the world to keep us, but on one who created all of these things and hold them in His hand. We, none of us, have the wisdom to know how to order our own lives so as to bring happiness and peace into them. We need one who's greater than we are. We're not going to find Him in the newspapers or in the colleges. We find Him in the God of the Bible. So have our spiritual ancestors before us. So Daniel, 3 times every day, the same pattern that he always been, not letting a man get between him and God, no matter who observes him do it. Is it such a bad thing? How do you interpret taking time to say a humble prayer, Lord, have mercy on my soul and remember my people? How do you get treason out of that? But that's what he was charged with. And so have Christians been punished and persecuted around the world through the centuries and still are today for doing good to people. That is what the Christian Bible commands us to do. As we have therefore opportunity, he said, let us do good to all men. And that has brought immense persecution. Well, Daniel didn't let that deter him. He came and told the king. Daniel knew that the writing was signed. He went into his house, and his windows being open in his chamber toward Jerusalem, kneeled upon his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime. So the men assembled, and they went back to the king. Oh, king, didn't you say, by the most terrible commandment you could utter, the law of the Medes and the Persians that cannot be broken. Anybody who does this, here's a document. You signed it. Nothing left to do. Off to the lion's den with you. This was a command that was given. Remember the story? And the king got upset. He didn't like that. King commanded, they brought Daniel, cast him into the land of lions. Now the king spake and said unto Daniel, thy God, whom thou servest continually, he will deliver thee. And so, without a word of resistance, without an opportunity to present any case for himself, a man who an hour ago was a second in the kingdom found himself condemned to death and cast into a den of lions. Just like that. And the king, if you read the story, Daniel answered nothing. Apparently they just gathered him up without him protesting. Didn't try to run. Didn't try to fight. Just gathered him up. Threw him in the den. Weak men bluster. Weak men make... I remember how they used to do it when I was a boy in school. You can't do that to me. I'll break your nose. I'm bigger than you are. My big brother, he's bigger than you are. And he'll beat you up. And so we'd go ahead and tackle him. And then it started changing to whining. I'm telling the teacher on you. Well, Daniel had none of that in him.
No.
They just took him. And whatever happened to him, he trusted that the Lord would take care of him, whatever he wanted to do. He may deliver me, and he may let me go. At this time, Daniel was somewhere around 90 years old. So he's an old man. And he had a long and full life, and he had a lot of experience with life, and he had seen how God makes a way to deliver his people. Brethren, I would like to recommend to you that God will teach you and me those very same experiences if we will patiently follow him. He had his time of challenge. He had his time when it looked like that he may be put to death for not taking the king's meat, for his fellows, for not bowing down to the idol, for not taking the other wrong courses. And he saw what God did during that. He saw God destroy Belshazzar. He saw God raise him back up to a place of recognition which he had not sought for himself. Brother, we make choices going through life. Inside you and me, I could say there's a good Indian and a bad Indian. You can make choices to serve the bad Indian if you want to, and you'll bring trouble on your own head. Or you can make choices to go the Lord's way, and it'll bring blessing on you. Here is a witness of a man who did it. I want to recommend it to you. Be careful to serve and follow the Lord. So they took him and put him in. And the scripture said they put two seals on the whatever stone or door they had. Bible doesn't give us much of a description. One of them was a seal of these fellows who hatched up the plot. Then the other was a king seal, because neither one of them trusted the other one. And so we got to both put our seal on there. And then the king said to Daniel, "O Daniel, thy God, whom thou servest, he is able to deliver thee." Isn't that an acknowledgement that he's a man of God? Yeah. What's the point of telling him that if he's not a man of God? And what a way to treat a man of God. But isn't that just what people do? I'm going to do something that I know is not right, and then expect God to keep away the consequences of it. If this was the thing for Darius to do, why is he telling Daniel, "I hope nothing bad happens to you for it"? But if it's not the thing for him to do, why did he let himself get backed into a corner to put him in there? Darius, he didn't design this plot himself. He was just weak. But you know, folks, in the end, to be weak is the same as being evil, because it brings the same results. And so weak Darius allowed Daniel to be put in there, not realizing how serious the consequences were. This is not just anybody. This is God's man. Being weak in that point is not just a small flub. This is murder. This is the same thing that Herod did when Salome came to him about John the Baptist. He didn't believe John the Baptist deserved to be put to death, but he was weak. This is the same thing Pilate did when Jesus Christ was brought before him. Pilate told those fellows, "I don't believe he's guilty. I don't find any fault in him." But he was selfish and he was weak, and for his selfishness and weakness, he was willing to kill an innocent man. In this case, a man of God. How do you answer to the Lord for that? Now think where Darius is today. He was king then, got a lot of power. And that lasted, 20 years. What a big deal. It's been 3,000 years since. How long do you think he's been regretting that? Eve, for the taste of an apple, brought sin into the world. Yeah. How cheaply people sell their souls so many times. Poor Darius, what a foolish decision. He said, "Well, the law is there. There's nothing I can do." I think if it was Darius who was being put in there, he'd have found a way. It's because it was somebody he didn't value so much. We ought to value, could I say, the men of God that he puts among us. If their purpose is here to deliver, to teach us the counsel of God's word, be careful how you handle them. The Lord said concerning people like this, He spoke of his and said, "Touch not mine anointed and do my prophets no harm. Reprove kings for their sake." Darius didn't hear him. Darius been in eternity a long time now. And I think that if he could have called this day back, he would have been glad to do so. Because as I mentioned, this is murder. I don't think Darius, in dealing with it, ever realized just how serious was the wrong that he had done. But isn't that the trick of the devil too? He'll let you blunder down the wrong way, bringing disaster after disaster on yourself, breaking your heart, breaking your dreams of life, all for foolish reasons, selfishness and weakness, and at the same time, grasping to be able to make things better. Can't find a way to do it. You got to have salvation. That's where the beginning point of integrity and nobility and uprightness are. None of us have it within ourselves to be able to direct our own way. Neither did these people. So they put the old man down in there. And Darius had a pretty restless night that night. The scripture that speaks of him laboring. It speaks of him not being able to enjoy the musicians and the people that normally came to put him to sleep, and trying to find ways to get out of what his situation was. And early in the morning, coming out there to see what was going on with Daniel. And that raises some more questions in your mind, doesn't it? If it was all that serious, why did he wait till morning? He was the king. What kept him from going out there long before that and doing something about this? If you get in trouble in your soul, the time to take care of it as soon as you know it. That's the course of stability, of uprightness and righteousness. But when people start down the wrong way, one step leads to another, and blindly not knowing the consequences of what that kind of life is going to be, blunder on and on into deeper and deeper trouble. To be selfish is to never clearly see the path of duty. It can't be done. It takes the Lord to open our eyes. All nobility begins with selflessness. And so does salvation. If you're willing to be selfless, it's easy to live for the Lord. That's what you have to crucify to live for the Lord.
Yes.
Selfishness. Well, Darius failed to do it. And so he came back. Daniel, we don't read about him being restless. So he came back. Oh, Daniel, is thy God whom thou servest continually? I see, you didn't serve me. I'm beat. But he didn't know, just half believing. I wonder what he really expected to hear. Crunching of the bones in the jaws of the lions? Or if there would be a human voice that would answer him out of the pit into which he cast an innocent man. I wonder what he expected. He cried out. It was early. He was restless. It didn't sound like he was really satisfied that Daniel would be all right. Daniel answered him with quiet strength and dignity. Sounded to me like Daniel had a better night than Darius did. We don't read about him being restless. You think about it. Lions purr. And lions' skin can be pretty soft. You could use one for a pillow. The angel's got the lion's mouth closed. You can't be safer than that.
That's right.
I think of him there, looking up through the roof of the pit. I don't know really what it was. But I've got it in my mind's eye, maybe a hole up in there for air, and up above it, the silent night sky, a star or two beaming down there, message of hope and comfort and encouragement. And the angel of the Lord camping there with him,
amen,
watching over him through the night. When the morning came, he's rested and refreshed. He's had a good night. And the king's had a bad night. And the king comes along and crying out to him, oh, Daniel, is your God whom you serve, your God, is it my God whom you serve continually, was he able to deliver you? And Daniel answered him with a message that showed he had no treason in his heart. Oh, king, live forever. I wish your kingdom had prospered. The Lord let you be in the place where you are. I'm not trusting in you. I'm trusting in the Lord. He wants you to be in that place. I'm satisfied for that. Listen, folks. I don't know if you follow politics or not, and I'll make it very plain that it has nothing to do with our worship service, and we don't intend to turn these into a political discussion. But picture yourself in a country that's much less stable than ours. God's got people there, too.
Yes.
He doesn't want us to go up and down with the tides of political opinion and all of those kind of things. That's for the world. Really, it is. We have something better. We have a God who has kept his word, his church, through 20 centuries, and he will keep it through the next. He's able to preserve his own. Maybe hidden. Maybe people don't see it. It may be persecuted. Well, look what Daniel had in his mind when he went into this pit. Maybe the lions will tear me. I'm 90 years old. Can't be much longer. Maybe this is going to be the end. And, you know, getting killed by a lion is really pretty fast as a rule. So it won't be like I had cancer and just had to dwindle away. Or get it done and over with, and then I'm going home. Or maybe the Lord will deliver me out, but either way, the Lord will deliver me.
Amen.
We had a precedent for that. Remember, that's what the three Hebrew children told the king as well. He said, if so be, our God whom we serve will deliver us. But if not, we won't bow down to what you're doing. We won't trust him anyway. How about you, friends? How about me? Let's trust him anyway.
Amen.
Let's be faithful the whole journey. We may not live to be 90, but we can live to have the Lord with us every day along the journey.
Amen.
See, when Daniel went in, he didn't say, like Darius, thy God shall deliver thee. And when he came out, the indication that we have of Daniel really is not that he was astonished as much as that he was thankful. When you live for the Lord many years, you will find he delivers you many times, and you get so you're not even astonished anymore at it. It is the way it is. But you're always thankful because his great hand is over us. I think of Daniel this way. Like a piece of PVC pipe, maybe 2 feet long and 3 inches diameter, something like that. It's not worth very much. PVC is cheap, plastic pipe. But if you use it as the pipe line for heavenly blessings, the blessing flows through it, it's invaluable. When God has somebody who's in his hand, just a person, just an old preacher, you won't say it that way, not any better than anybody else or any of his saints, but when the blessing starts flowing through it, if it's on the source of water, that's a pretty valuable piece of plastic, isn't it? The Lord wants you and me to be in his world, in his thirsty world. He wants you and me to be a good piece of PV plastic pipe. I think Paul had some of these things in mind when he was about near the end of his journey. He wrote, I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. Now, I think he probably had old brother Daniel in mind. Now, Paul got his the other way. Paul got in a place where he spent 2 years in jail, and at the end of it, they took him out and cut his head off. There again, you got it to face. We're all leaving here some way. That's about as quick and easy as you can do it, isn't it? And he's gone. And remember what he said about that. Henceforth, there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness. Yeah. Not for me only, but for all those love is appearing. Well, Daniel had learned that it's possible to be killed by lions and still have no harm come to him. Scripture said it this way in the 91st Psalm, thou shalt tread upon the lion and the adder, the young lion and the dragon shalt thou trample under feet. So, Daniel came back up out of the lion's den, and he did it with respect and honor. The Lord restored him to his kingdom again. And after a while, Darius was gone, and Cyrus took his place. And even as this old man, even after all these four kings had come and gone, Cyrus elevated him again, and he still was in a lofty position all the way to the end of his life. Daniel finished his life surrounded by friends, filled with honor and recognition, lived all his life practically in a heathen land among people who were doing everything they could to destroy his religion, steadfastly maintained it, preserved his integrity, was at the end of his life showered with honors and recognition. None of them moved him at all from the man that he was on the inside, lived among his friends, filled his life with blessing. You can't do better than that in life, folks. The best thing we can do, any of us, the best thing we can do is like the lady who came up behind the Lord and broke the ointment and poured it down over him. They looked and said, what a waste. The world always tells you that when you give your life to the Lord. You're wasting it. You're wasting your life. Wasting on the Lord. Just pour it all over him. There's nothing better any of us can do with our lives than waste it on the Lord. So Darius saw all of this. And then he gave a long, flowery speech about it. Here's some of what he said. Wrote unto all people, nations and languages. Still pretty proud of himself, wasn't he? Dwell in all the earth. Peace multiply to you. I make a decree. You can't decree religion. You can't do it. People have to find the Lord for themselves. But he didn't understand that. He didn't understand he about murdered a man of God. He didn't understand there were limits to his power, and so he put it out there. Make a decree. Every dominion of my kingdom, men tremble and fear before the God of Daniel. Like that can make them do it. They fear and tremble before Darius. That's a very different thing, isn't it? It'll last long as his word's out there. He is the living God and steadfast forever. And his kingdom, that which shall not be destroyed, and his dominion shall be even unto the end. He delivereth and rescueth, and he worketh signs and wonders in heaven and in earth, who hath delivered Daniel from the power of the lions. So, don't even want to talk about those fellows who did it. They didn't turn out very well. I wish they hadn't followed that course. Darius' decree lasted till the ink got dry on the paper, pretty much. People get scared into religion. That's about how long it lasts. When people get a change of heart and make a decision, I'm tired of this way. I want something better. And set their course. May not appear very dramatic or exciting, but it makes you real solid and stable, and in the end, it'll bring a whole lot more happiness than any other course people can follow in life. That's my thought this morning, and I thank you for the courtesy of your attention. Amen.